Luke chapter 23. While you're turning there in your Bibles, just a couple of brief announcements. Please see the bulletin or pay attention to the screens as you come in the services. We have all the announcements that are made there as well. Tonight, after the service, we'll have a special time of reception for Pastor Kyle and Miss Marley. We're thankful for the Spatzes and their ministry here at FBT, but we're praying for their new ministry as they transition to Jacksonville, Florida. And Pastor Kyle will be an assistant pastor there at the church. So we want to have a farewell fellowship on their behalf. They're also in need of help with moving and getting their truck loaded and so forth on Saturday. I think you can see Pastor Kyle or Abel Vasquez if you need more information on that. Reminder of the ladies' activity this coming Saturday. There's a sign-up sheet on the kiosk for that picnic. If weather holds or there's any weather interruptions, they'll make adjustments there, but plan to join the ladies for that picnic this coming Saturday. Our Helping Hands ministry is very involved in doing so many little things and big things behind the scenes, and I appreciate Aaron Mattson and Kathy Kramer as they head that up. But they're going to have an informational meeting next Sunday following the morning service. And so if you're interested in being a part of the Helping Hands, you can be a part of that informational time next Sunday after the morning service. Young at Heart group has an activity at Camp Rapidan coming up on April the 4th, and then an opportunity to be involved in another trip down to Greenville, Tennessee on April the 7th and 8th. And then also a reminder of our men's softball team. They begin on Monday, April the 10th. Brother Abdiel Hernandez will be caring for that softball team this year. And also a reminder of our visitation. It goes out on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. and Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Appreciate the good number that were out yesterday and appreciate their investment here in our local area. Luke chapter 23 this morning, if you have found your way there, we want to consider just a couple of verses. We're working our way towards Easter Sunday. And I had said to the men in our prayer time this morning that it's amazing. I began in October of 2018 looking at the Gospel of Luke. And we'll come now to the entrance of chapter 24, Lord willing, on Easter Sunday. And so we've traveled many miles through this great Gospel and considering so many different things. And we'll go into chapter 24 on April the 9th and celebrating the resurrection of our Savior. I want you to pay close attention this morning, and I want to challenge you on a couple of things today. The special before the message was so appropriate in quieting our hearts and listening and so forth, and I really want that to be the case for us in this passage this morning. Luke chapter 23, in verses 47 to 49, I want you to read these three verses with me. Luke chapter 23, verses 47 to 49. Again, we have traveled through the three religious trials that the Lord faced, through the three secular trials that He faced. He is absolutely and completely innocent, and yet He has been found guilty, and they have hung Him on a cross. The Romans have put Him in this position, but in truth, He was there because of my sins, and He was there dying for the sins of the whole world. Would you read these verses with me this morning? Luke 23, verse number 47. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned, and all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things, standing and quietly observing. The Gospel of Matthew gives this account in Matthew 27, verses 54 and following. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." Mark chapter 15, verses 39 to 41. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. We see centurions throughout the Scriptures. We see a centurion in the early portion of the Gospels that was desirous of a servant to be healed. We see another centurion who desired certain things, and the people said that he was a good man and that he loved Israel and had actually built a synagogue on behalf of Israel. In Acts chapter 10, we see another centurion who was from Caesarea, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. And we see this centurion there at the foot of the cross. And I ask ourselves, what can we learn from this centurion there at the foot of the cross? What did the centurion see? And what did the centurion hear? Truth is given to us throughout Scripture, of course. But in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 51, there is a significant truth that applies. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. The centurion, no doubt, had received reports of a coming crucifixion. If you would, for just a moment, speculate with me that the centurion is married and perhaps has a child or two, and the word is passed as it comes down from headquarters that there's going to be a crucifixion. We don't know how far along the path the centurion had been involved with the Lord Jesus Christ. We know of him being here at the foot of the cross. It's possible that he's been an observer all the way throughout the process and has observed everything that has been done. It's possible that the centurion was committed to this crucifixion that would occur. It's possible, again, this is speculation, but it's possible that in his details and in his paperwork, if you would, he receives word that three criminals will be put to death on a certain day. So perhaps his wife says, what do you have going on today? And he says in response, well, it's going to be a difficult day because we have three individuals that will be placed on wooden crosses and killed today. Perhaps she responded and said, honey, do you think it will be a smooth process, or do you think that there will be turmoil? And perhaps he's thinking in his mind as he reads the possible names of the individuals that will be crucified, Barabbas and the other two. Ooh, this could be difficult because this one has done much to cause harm in the land. And it's quite possible that there will be those that will show up for the proceedings today that will be very much in his favor and that will be very much his companions and that will seek to do all that they can to stop the proceedings. He's going to be crucified next to two of his companions, and this could be a difficult day. It could be a difficult day because the crowd could swell in number. As it relates to the volume of people that we have in the land for this religious Passover. And so surely there will be those that have come from distant places that have never seen the nature of a crucifixion. And so while we may have the rebellious type people that will join that day and maybe even try to stop the proceedings, there will no doubt be those that have come to see the show, to see the nature of crucifixion, the nature of how a person is going to be punished for their wickedness. If it is true that the centurion solely had oversight of the time at the cross, it's possible that he has the soldiers bring in the three criminals, and perhaps the centurion is fully aware of the nature and the visage of Barabbas. And he anticipates that three will be brought to him. But in distant settings, he hears, "Release unto us Barabbas." And so knowing that Pilate is going to release someone, he doesn't know then who will be taking that place on the middle cross. Doesn't know all that's happened to him thus far. Doesn't know the nature of the beatings and the cruelty that's already been placed upon the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's quite possible that as this vast number works their way to the place called Golgotha and those three crosses are laid down on the ground, Simon the Cyrenian gives up the care of the cross, and now Christ and the other criminals are laid there. And the centurion is overseeing everything that takes place. From this moment, I want you and me, to the best of our ability, to quiet our hearts and to simply listen and observe. Now, I'm going to try something this morning that might be entirely foolish. And so maybe in days gone and days to come that you'll say, "I was in a service one time and that happened and that was entirely foolish and it should have never happened." But perhaps there's a slim chance that this just might help some of this sink in this morning. The young people just participated in a fine arts competition, and as a part of that fine arts competition, some of our young people were in what is called choric speech. And some have said to me, "What is choric speech?" Basically, it's a group speech. And so what I'd like to do this morning, if we could, in the auditorium here, if you will help me be a participant in choric speech. What I would like to do is, and again, in days to come, you might say that was crazy and foolish and that did not work and it fell flat. I understand that may happen. But to give us a sense of what was going on at the foot of the cross, with those that were excited about the death of these criminals, and those that had come as observers, and those that were in all these different people groups, there's a lot being said there at the foot of the cross, and it's not just one person or two people, it is a vast number of individuals. And so I would like for us to try to do a choric number this morning. And I'm very serious in this. This is not meant to be frivolous. This is meant to be serious. And so if you would please participate with me and please follow along with everybody else. What I would like is for this section right here and even over into this far section, if you all would make this statement, "Hail King of the Jews." Can you try that with me? Can this group say together, "Hail, King of the Jews"? Can you say it one more time? "Hail." This group here, in this center section here, would you, with your wording, say, "Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him." Would you, here in this other middle section, would you repeat and say this with me? "Save thyself and us. Save thyself and us. Save thyself and us." And then for these folks that are in these two sections, you're really going to have to give it the oomph here, all right? Would you repeat after me? "Come down from the cross. Come down from the cross. Come down from the cross." All right? "Come down from the cross. All right? If you have your wording down, Would you at this time just close your eyes and listen? Okay, open your eyes. Hundreds and hundreds of people. The centurion was fully anticipating a day in which he would put individuals to death. Fully anticipating that individuals that had committed criminal acts and been found guilty, this was the day appointed for punishment. And yet on this day, he hears these kinds of things. These kinds of statements being made over and over and over again. Save thyself and us! Crucify him! Crucify him! Hail, King of the Jews! As people pass by, they don't even know why they're saying what they're saying. It starts with the religious crowd. It starts with this religious energy. And they're so full of spirit and antagonism to the Lord Jesus Christ that they influence everyone else around them. And now pretty soon, the soldiers are saying it. The very thieves that are hanging on each side of Christ are saying it. People that are passing by that have no prior knowledge of Christ. Hail, King of the Jews! Save thyself! Come down from the cross and we will believe. The centurion had probably done this many times. He did not ascend to that level of rank and oversight in a brief manner of time. He's been invested in this for a long period of time. And he's probably done this a lot. And he's seen all kinds of the criminal element that pay the price for their criminal activity. But on this day, he sees something very different. And the one that is hung on the cross. Would you see these things with me this morning? I believe with all of my heart that as we observe the centurion and observe his words, his sight changed his heart. The first thing that we see and know for sure that he saw was the matter of the depravity of man. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift who shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. There is no fear of God before their eyes. He saw the depravity of man and the nature of the criminals that were hung next to Jesus Christ. He heard what the criminals said about the Lord, and for a time how they joined in together with everyone else that was saying so many things against the Lord. He saw the depravity of man, not only in the criminals, he saw the depravity of man in the crowd You and I could not look on the Lord Jesus Christ in this manner. As His face has been so brutally beaten, as the crown of thorns has rained down upon His head, as blow after blow from the cat of nine tails has made Him almost unrecognizable as a human being, and the centurion is still watching the vile treatment, no sympathy, no mercy, continual chants of crucify Him, crucify Him. Number one, the centurion saw very clearly the depravity of man. Number two, the centurion saw the deity of Christ. The deity of Christ was revealed in His statements. If you travel through the Gospels, you find that Christ had seven statements on the cross. I'll reflect on just a couple of them this morning. Imagine when Jesus Christ hanging there on the cross and the centurion hears these words, "Father, forgive them." As he listens to the conversation with the believing criminal, and the criminal says to the other criminal, "This man has done nothing amiss." And the believing criminal says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And the centurion hears the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." When darkness covered the land, and Christ cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The centurion no doubt heard the Lord Jesus Christ say these words, "It is finished." I believe he saw the deity of Christ and the revelation of it in his statements. I believe that the centurion saw the deity of Christ not just in his statements, but also in his silence. Never before had a criminal been hung on a tree and remained silent to the verbal abuse that they were facing. Never before had a criminal been hung on a tree and not responded to the physical abuse. Jesus Christ had power to be able to call the angelic host down and to bring deliverance, but he responded not a word. I believe in everything that was going on, the centurion saw the deity of Christ in his statements. He saw the deity of Christ in his silence, and then surely in those hours of darkness, he saw the deity of Christ in his sacrifice. Something was very different about the death of this so-called criminal. Even those that were hanging next to him saw and recognized his purity. So then why is he dying? In a very real way, Jesus was dying for one that had been set free. Barabbas, you are guilty. And you will be hung on a cross on a certain day. Barabbas bound from prison. Here's all kinds of things being stated outside of the prison walls. And then a jailer comes to Barabbas and opens the door and tells Barabbas to go free. Someone else will be in your place on the cross today. It was revealed in His sacrifice as He gave Himself dying on behalf of others. The centurion observed and heard and saw the depravity of man. The centurion saw the deity of Christ in all these different areas, from His statements to His silence to His sacrifice. And I believe the centurion also saw one other thing. That was the devotion of His faithful followers. Would you look at verses 48 and 49? All the people that came together to that site, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all His acquaintance and the women that followed Him from Galilee stood afar off beholding these things. John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27, in one of the other statements of the Lord Jesus Christ while on the cross, there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother and His mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciples standing by whom He loved, He saith unto His mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith He to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. While some deceived and some denied, still others departed, there were still those that were devoted. Verse number 27 of this very chapter, the Bible says, there followed Him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented Him. On this day, it was not popular to be friends with the criminals. It was not popular to be there and to be by their side. But these individuals that were devoted to Christ said, we do not care about the shame that He is bearing in the eyes of all these people. We will be there by His side. And though the rugged disciples had gone away, they had dispersed and they had departed. These individuals, so faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, said, we will not leave. And they observed everything, beginning to end. Can I speak about another group that's mentioned in the Bible? It's in fact in the Hall of Faith. Would you listen to these words that are spoken about others that were devoted to Christ? Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 to 38, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. The centurion in the silence and quietness and the chanting, the statements from the crowd, the horror of crucifixion, the horror of the visage of the Lord Jesus Christ. In these hours, as Christ hung there, he saw the depravity of man. It is certain and is sure. He saw the deity of Christ. He saw the devotion of the faithful followers. And I ask you and I this morning, I wonder if our devotion to Christ would ever lead someone else to that same truth. Be quiet for a moment and just think about all that the centurion has seen and all the centurion has heard. And his response, truly, this is the Son of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to consider the statement of the centurion. I know it is speculation on my part, but I surely think that he had anticipated things going a certain way. I know it's speculation, but I think he probably had been involved in crucifixions for many days, if not years. But on this day, the man in the middle of the middle cross was far different than every other one that he had nailed to a cross. And after listening to everything that the crowd had chanted, after listening to everything that the criminals had said, after listening to the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would pull himself up with all of his might to be able to speak on 7 different occasions. After witnessing the darkness that covered the land and hearing the cry of Christ and calling out, "My God, my God." The centurion responds in belief, truly, this was the Son of God. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If there be one this morning that's never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, would you in this time of invitation draw them to yourself and help them to be washed clean? They can receive the lifting of the burden of their sin today at the foot of the cross. Perhaps we who know Jesus as our Savior need to spend time in praying for a spouse or praying for a loved one, friend, co-worker, neighbor. Lord, help me to be the devoted follower of Christ that when others see my life, they might look to the nature of my Savior and that they might desire that Savior too. Would you work in this time of invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet with me this morning? I ask you to stand with me in a time of reverential prayer, a time in which you survey your own heart and life. In a very brief way, we have looked at what the centurion witnessed for hours as they hung there in agony on the cross. And at the end of all those hours, he said, truly, this was the Son of God. Would you understand this morning the depravity of man? Would you understand this morning that Jesus Christ, as God Himself, gave Himself on the cross of Calvary to die for your sins and for mine, and that today you can receive that forgiveness. You can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Men and women all across the audience, do you know for sure that you've trusted Christ as your Savior? Today you can make that decision and know you'll be in heaven with the Lord. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist this morning to play number 481, Just As I Am, Just As I Am. Would you come to the Lord this morning, just as you are? Believers, would you take a few moments in this time of invitation to pray for that spouse, that family member, that friend, that classmate, that teacher, that boss, that coworker? Would you pray for them right now that they would come to know Christ, and that you, in some way, would be